The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went from here. He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. Today we hear a story about four people who discover a higher purpose in life. A story in which four people doing ordinary work, James, John, Peter, Andrew, were doing their work of fishing in the Sea of Galilee, something that everybody used to do in that area, and this is a nice, natural kind of work. Something happened to them, and one time when they were fishing, a young man from the town of Nazareth came to them and offered them an invitation by saying, "Come, follow me." And for some reason, they followed. For some reason, they left everything they had. They left their nets. They left their boats. They even left their father. I can imagine his father saying, "Hey, where are you guys going?" Because Zebedee was standing there and left with the nets. And so you wonder, why in the world did they follow him? And they took a chance on following Jesus because they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what adventures they were going to experience, what challenges they were going to come up against, what new horizons they were going to be measured by. But they went nevertheless. And one of the reasons I suspect that they did go with Jesus and that they did follow and did not know what was going to happen was that they saw something in his invitation. They saw something in the words, "Follow me." They saw something, a higher meaning, a higher purpose, a higher agenda that was being offered to them in the work of Jesus himself. And so I suspect that that's something that many of us want to experience in our own lives, to find a higher purpose. You know, these men were ordinary guys that did an ordinary job, but there was something that was missing in that job. Now, I'm not criticizing the work that they're doing because they were doing honest work. They were fishermen, and many people do simple works from the factory to computer to medical to all kinds of engineering and all kinds of advertising. Every kind of work has its inherent essential value and purpose. But the question is, does it offer you something deeper? And this is what the apostles were able to see in the invitation of Jesus, that he was offering them a deeper sense of connection, not just to the work that they were doing, but to the source and meaning of what it was that they did. A lot of times we do work, but it ends there. I mean, one of the big complaints today in modern day is that when people do work, they feel disconnected from the result. A lot of people work, in a sense, still in assembly lines, even though they work in a corporation or even though they work in some big office. Their piece of the work is added to something larger. Many of them don't even know what the conclusion of that work is. And so they feel disconnected. They feel isolated. I mean, in the industrial age, when people were first getting on those mechanical belts and they were doing their little piece of the work, they became just part of a function. And they felt that they were a function only. They felt limited to what they did. They felt limited to the task that they performed. And what people search for today is a real sense of purpose, a real sense of connection to something larger, a sense of giving something that is contributing to everything else. And so all work is good. The worst thing we can do is divide the world between sacred and profane, because all of the world is God's world. No matter how you experience it, no matter what point in life you are in it, whether you're a part where you feel everything is good and sacred or when you are really struggling, it is still part of the whole. And many of us want to be able to understand what it is that we're supposed to do. You see, inherently in our work, there's a call and claim on us. And we take our work and we put it as an end to ourselves rather than a means to an end. Our work is a channel, a door, a window, an opportunity for us to transcend the experience of that limited experience that we have and be able to touch something deeper, to be able to experience the phenomena, the numinous, the beautiful essence of what it is. And so many of us feel that we're limited by what we do, and sometimes what we do, we go to different work, right? A lot of us says, well, I'll try a different kind of job. You know, maybe I was a mechanic, let me go be an engineer. If I'm not an engineer, let me go try science or computers. And what we do is we'll search the whole world, we're looking for some meaning, and it's right in front of us. It's right there in front of us because we have to have the attitude of what it is that we're looking for rather than have the job to get the attitude. Make sense? We have to have a search, a desire in our lives. And many times we experience that when it's taken away. We experience it when we're limited. We feel blocked because we want to be able to achieve a purpose in our lives. Do you have a purpose in your life? Do you feel as though you're really meaning and going towards that meaning? Or are you just every day flowing up and down with the vicissitudes of reality, reacting to the world around you? Many of us react to the world, and what we do is we just get caught up in its flow. And we're not independent, and we're not critical, and we're not able to make a stance about who we are, what's going on. And this is what we have to be able to know, on what ground we stand. The holy ground that we stand in is the ground of meaning. There was a wonderful book by Viktor Frankl. You may have heard it, read it. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. This man, he was a psychiatrist. He was taken into the death camps of Auschwitz, and he survived about 3 or 4 of them. He knew he was going to die. He was just like with all the other Jewish people that were there. They were going to be destroyed. But he had something in him that he did not want to give up. He had to drive him, and he saw himself doing lectures in front of people about all kinds of psychological, psychiatric things and modalities. He saw and he felt the energy of what it is to want something so bad that you can endure anything in the process to reach it. And so this is what he did. He wrote the book, A Man's Search for Meaning, because he says if you don't have a meaning in your life that you're working towards to achieve, then your life is a sham. Then your life is just a reactionary phenomena that is controlled by the vicissitudes of the outside. And many of us are. We're controlled by our culture. We're controlled by our education. We're controlled by our values. We're controlled by our religion. We're controlled by all certain kinds of things. And the question is, are they helping you move beyond that? Are they helping you to connect to the real meaning of life? And what is that meaning of life? It's the goodness of what God is offering us to be. When Jesus says, follow me, he tells you to follow what he does. He tells you to follow how he lives. He tells you how to follow in the passion that he had for justice and goodness. How to follow means to be able to commit yourself without reserve to the higher meanings of life. Many of us would like to do it, but we don't have the nerve to do it. Many of us would love to be able to mouth the values that we say we believe in, but the moment a challenge comes up to us, we back off. We're too afraid. And you know that's because you're not rooted in that meaning. What will take you to be rooted in that meaning? A catastrophe? A loss? Maybe some kind of sickness? How many of you have been sick and for the first time in your life you wake up to your life, you're woke, and you say to yourself, oh my God, maybe I need to do something different. I need to change how I think. I need to change my relationships. I need to change how I eat, how I work out, who my friends are. Is that what it takes for us to change? Can we do it through persuasion? Can we do it through invitation? Or must it always be through tragedy or through some shortcoming? And see, this is what the gospel is offering us today, is that Jesus says, follow me, and he still says it today. No matter what you're doing in work, no matter where you work, no matter what stage of life you're in, God says, follow me. But what does that mean? What does that mean? How do you follow Jesus? Well, you look at what he did, right? You look at what he said. You look at how he took stands. You look at how he loved and how he cared and how he risked his life for certain things and for people. This is the ground of our being. This is what it means to be a Christian person. It means to give yourself selflessly to the purpose and goodness of other people and the world. It means to stand for justice, to appreciate beauty, to care for mercy and reconciliation. This is what God is asking us to do. And you know what? We're just too afraid. We're too afraid. Why? I remember a verse in the Bible that it says, beware and fear the person that can not only destroy the body, but the soul. I don't know why that came up. It's not part of the sermon, but it's here in my head. Because I think in the end we have to answer for our lives. In the end, we have to answer for what we said yes to and what we said no to. in our end of our lives, we have to be able to stand up and say, this is who I am, no matter what challenges come across, no matter who stands before me, no matter who challenges me. Have you ever reached that place? Have you stood your ground to the point that you're ready to die for it? I'm talking about real life now. I'm not talking about this mammy-pammy stuff, the sentimentalized religion that we get all the time, which is just about my personal salvation, and you forget about the justice that's left undone in this world. That you forget about all the things and all the issues that are still going around, genderism, sexism, the destruction of land, the destruction of people. What are we in the midst of all of this? What are we doing? Are we just watching passively? Are we making professional, ethical criticisms, or are we actually doing something about it? That's the claim that Jesus asks you and me. What are you committed to? What is the meaning of your life? What is it that you really, really, really want to do, want to be? What would Jesus do? We hear that a lot of times, right? It's a real good question to think of when you think about certain ethical, moral, philosophical issues that you wrestle with in your life. Because when you think about what Jesus would do, he doesn't give you a straight answer. Sometimes he does, but not all the time. You know why? Because you are the answer. You, in your particular situation, in your context, in your reality, you are the one that answers a question that no one else can answer. He says, where are you? And you say, here I am. And you respond. Because out of the depth of your being, you know who you are, what needs to be done. We're not puppets. We don't speak. We don't adhere to an ideology. We're not people who follow certain rules all our life and do not step out of that. We are people who will risk for the truth and for the reality of what's going on. We will risk who we are, what we stand on. So he gives us a sense of comfort. He gives us a sense of context and a grounding, but it leaves the answer and the response in your hand. I remember one time I had a friend of mine who didn't know what to do with their life, with their profession. And she was a young woman, ready to go to college, and she was with a friend. They were kind of walking around and talking, and they were in this department store or something. And then some woman came across to them, and she had a baby. And a baby was, you know, a handicapped baby. I think it had Down syndrome or something, a little baby. And so the woman had to go to the bathroom. And so she says to my friend, here, hold the baby for a minute. Can you please hold the baby? So she held the baby, and it was there. She found the meaning of her life. It was right there when she saw what she needed to do. Something had opened. Something had been pulled back by the veil. She knew this is what she wanted to do with her life, to work with these kinds of kids, to give her life and heart, her intelligence, her creative energy to that. You see, it can come to us in a moment like that when we find our way, and you hear the words, come follow me. Come follow me where? To truth, to goodness, to reality, to health, to healing, reconciliation, all the words I can throw at you. But we've got to listen too. And we have to be courageous enough to respond. What do we have in this world that is so valuable that we hold on to that prevents us from being totally who we want to be? Money? Position? Family? Old ideas? What holds you? I remember a philosopher friend of mine said to me, whatever gets your attention gets you, and whatever holds your attention is your God. What is your God? Where is your God? Come follow Jesus. He's offering us an opportunity to, even where we are, we don't have to change professions. We don't have to go across the country. We don't have to leave the United States and go somewhere else to do work. It's right here. Everywhere around us, there's a ministry available to us. There's an opportunity for us to do the work of God anywhere we are. And we know it. We'll know it when we do it. It's not something that comes to light. It's something in the soul that says, aha, yes, I understand, I get it. Many of us float on life like bubbles. We're not rooted in anything. Like the trees, we bend in the winds of ideas and ideologies. We don't stand rooted in the tree of life, the tree of truth. And that's what Jesus is offering us today. Come follow him. Don't follow me. Don't follow the church. Don't follow tradition. Don't follow the Pope. Don't follow anybody. Follow Jesus. Listen to him. Love him. Read the scripture. Devote yourself to the truth. Open your life to the meaning of being here. For the little chance that we have at life is so small.
Psalm 90 says we have 70 to 80 years. And if we're lucky, we may get 90. But it'll be a lot of problems, it says, because you'll have to really struggle. But it says, let me count my days so that I may grow a heart of wisdom. I may grow a heart of wisdom. To know that time and life is a fleeting gift is to open your heart to the truth of valuing what you have. Hope we can do that. Amen.